理课堂听 class.com
Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. On today's program, we're going to consider what might be your biggest business mistake. Hi, everyone, and welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Troy, and today with me in the studio are three hosts on today's program to discuss with us the business article, Indispensable. Well, that's the name of the article, Indispensable. And, of course, the word just means that something is so good or important as to be essential or necessary. Now, sometimes in business, some people imagine that they are indispensable. Why? Because they're the boss. They're the owner. They are the proprietor of a business. What they haven't thought about is what happens one day when you, the boss, are no longer around. Will the business survive? Well, on today's business article, we're going to take a look then at what could be a person's biggest business mistake. And here in the studio to discuss this article with us first is Ethan. Hi, Ethan.
Hi, Troy.
Have you ever owned a business, worked at a business?
Well, I'm working now at ORTV, but I haven't. This is my first job, and I'm having to learn how to deal with this because I tend to be a person who more wants to take control and do everything on my own.
Hmm. Okay. Also with us in the studio is Bill. Hi, Bill.
Hello, Troy. I can really relate to this article. I've worked in the business world for almost 20 years in large corporations, and I have worked for a couple smaller organizations. And I've seen examples of people that have put themselves in a position of being indispensable. And there's good and bad to it, and we're going to examine some of the issues surrounding it.
Okay. Well, we have the lighter female side here. We're also with us in the studio, and she's a voice that you often hear. Esther is back with us today. Hi, Esther.
Hi, everyone. It's good to be on the program again, and I'm glad to be talking about this. I don't think we will all necessarily agree with this article, but I think it's some food for thought.
Hmm. Good point. If you have your Advanced magazine, please turn to page 18. And on page 18, then, you'll see at the top the article is entitled, with a question mark, the word indispensable. And to begin the reading, here is Wayne.
Indispensable? Your biggest business mistake. Working yourself out of a job may be the best thing you can do. The biggest threat to your small business's long-term survival may be someone you would never suspect, you. If you're a conscientious owner who works hard, knows every customer, and attends to the tiniest detail, you may be making yourself indispensable. And nothing functions when an indispensable part is missing. So vacations, a case of the flu, even the occasional day off, all become crises. Unending demands. The small business owner who does everything is more like an employee than an owner, said Michael E. Gerber, author of The E-Myth Revisited. The title refers to Gerber's belief that most small businesses are not really entrepreneurial. Owners often get diverted from the entrepreneurial path by day-to-day demands of operating, says Gerber, who runs a Santa Rosa, California business consultancy. What's wrong with that? For one thing, the business does not function in the long run as well as it could. For another, the demands on the owner never end.
This is Advanced Studio Classroom, and that was Wayne reading for us the first half of today's lesson in your magazine on page 18. It's the business article entitled indispensable? Good question. We said at the beginning of the program that the definition to the word indispensable found in your vocab focus is
so good or important as to be essential or necessary. You can use indispensable, for instance, Troy. I thought of, if you want to drive your car, oil is indispensable to the operation.
Ah, good point. Okay. So oftentimes there are things that we do that something involved is indispensable. There are certain things that involve, of course, other things too. So driving a car certainly involves having enough gas or oil or air in your tires. And certainly if you're going to drive a car, you need to have a driver.
So if you don't have any oil in your car, it will simply shut down.
Okay, so oil is indispensable to the operation of your car. Well, owning a business and running a business, well, there are other things that are indispensable. Maybe the question is, does a business need an owner? Of course. That's a logical question. All businesses need owners. They need someone who is the proprietor of the business. So we would say that that person is indispensable. Well, that's not the question in today's article, is it? It's not about whether or not you as the boss or the owner are indispensable. It's something more fundamental to the way the business operates.
Certainly, you need somebody that's going to start the business. But once you start a business, you need a good group of people around you to help that business grow. And that's what we're talking about today.
Okay.
We're going to be talking about your involvement in a company, and that will help show us how, if we are indispensable, we are actually going to hurt the company because no one can take over for us.
And I think this article tells us how we should learn how to delegate and give some our jobs to other people so we don't always end up doing the same things for the rest of our lives. Maybe others can help us too.
Yeah, good point, Esther. And I do think that that is something suggested in the article. It certainly comes to us from the article when we realize that companies all need, as you said, people around them. You need to train people, teach people, learn how to entrust authority to other people to get a job done. If you can't do that, then, of course, you will be the only one doing all of the jobs. And if you are left to do all of the jobs all of the time, at some point your company will suffer because jobs and companies cannot really do well unless it's supported by a majority of persons and not just one individual. Now, I think we need to be honest, too, and realize that there are some companies that you might call it a company. I would call it maybe a small business. I know here in Asia we see lots of street vendors. And I would, you know, and every day, hour after hour, you'll see those street vendors standing on the same corner from 6 o'clock in the morning until late into the evening. And it amazes me the kind of energy and persistence and commitment they have to be there day in and day out. Now, that's not really the kind of business we're talking about.
Now, that would be a single proprietorship, you might say, where one man or one woman decides they're going to open up a food stand or something. The problem with that is it requires that person to be there almost every minute, operating minute and hour of that business.
Right. And now there are larger proprietorships. There are also the kinds of businesses that are incorporated. And so when your business grows to the size where you've chosen to incorporate, then perhaps you're involving many more people.
Yes, you would be. We see in cases like Microsoft or some of the bigger technology companies especially that there are thousands of people involved in these companies.
Okay, so when you've grown to the size where you've become a corporation, of course we understand the necessity of doling out or giving responsibility to other people.
I want to make a connection there between what we were talking about, Troy, the single proprietorship, maybe somebody opening up a food stand here in Asia, and what Ethan gave, the example of Microsoft. Microsoft started by one guy, Bill Gates, making computers and operating systems in his parents' garage. Obviously, they've grown to thousands of employees. He was the person that started that business but was able to find folks around him to help that business grow.
Well, let's take a look at the article. And we will see then the biggest business mistake that someone might make. It says the biggest threat to your small business long-term survival may be someone you would never expect, Esther. And who might that person be?
And this might be you, the owner of the business. And later on, we'll find out why this might be the reason why you thinking if you are indispensable to your company, then this is your biggest mistake, perhaps, as it says here.
Good.
Well, and I think this can apply to most people who work in a business as well. Most of us have at least some realm in which we are in control of. If you're in maintenance, you are in charge of the maintenance department, maybe. You are going to be responsible. And if you are indispensable to that department, you're going to hurt the company if you can't be there.
Okay. Well, in the second paragraph here, we see that the writer gives us a hint as to what kind of person this might be. What kind of person do we see that this might be? First, they're conscientious.
Conscientious owner in line 10. I like that word, conscientious. That means somebody who cares a lot. They care a lot about the business, and they're willing to put all of their effort and time into that business.
Okay, and that's what it says in the next line down, that this conscientious owner is a hard worker. In fact, they attend to every customer and to the tiniest details of the business. Well, I've seen people like that. I know people like that. And unfortunately, while they appear to be tireless in their effort to do everything, oftentimes there are problems when they get sick or when they just simply can't show up or when they have a family matter that has come up. And that's when the business begins to suffer because no one is around them to help to keep the business going.
I thought of an example here, Troy, of knowing every customer. And when you start a business, sure, maybe you need to do that. You need to know every customer. But as you grow your business, that really doesn't become necessary. You need to know the key customers, but you don't need to know every customer. Hopefully, you have employees who know all the other ones.
Okay. So if you're running a business where you, as the owner, do all of the work and you consider yourself to be indispensable to that business, what happens in the case of a vacation?
Well, then it becomes a crisis because no one knows what to do. You haven't told other people how to do your job, so people have a problem. They don't know how to run the business or to continue on.
Yes, and we know that we all need to take vacations at times. And I've seen small businesses that because they have not employed or trained other individuals to take over and run the jobs that they do, what happens when they take a vacation? They have a family problem. They're sick. Do you know what happens? They hang a sign on the door that says, you know, not open today. Mm-hmm. And that's all they hang there. There's no reason that they give. You just simply assume there must be a problem. So I guess, you know, the company isn't open today. But that really is not good for a business.
No, you need to be able to delegate some of these responsibilities. And I mentioned about, again, knowing every customer. I spent years in sales, and I had a sales manager. He certainly didn't know all of my customers, but he managed a half a dozen people like me, and I took him out to meet the most important customers. So that was the key.
Okay, so we're also learning that there are some strategies, things that a business owner can do when he learns to trust other people. What we see here in the second part, as we look down, beginning at line 17 or 18, it says unending demands. Well, we know this is true. If you are the sole owner of a company and you are the one who does everything, there will always be demands on your time. So what do we read here, Ethan?
We read the small business owner who does everything is more like an employee than an owner. This is Michael E. Gerber, who is the author of The E-Myth Revisited.
So this is a book that he's written called The E-Myth Revisited, and it refers to his belief that most small businesses are not really entrepreneurial. That's a very big word, entrepreneurial. Bill, what can you tell us about the word?
Entrepreneurial is one of our specialized terms, Troy. That means relating to someone who starts a new business, especially one that involves risks. And I think of the person is actually an entrepreneur. And usually that is somebody who is more creative. Maybe they look at a problem and say, I've got a solution for that problem. They're not so much a worker, but they're more of a thinker and a creator.
Okay, yes, and we might even use the word visionary.
Yes.
Someone who sees the possibilities of starting up a new company.
Right. For example, a good example of an entrepreneur I can think of is Steve Jobs, who started Apple Computer. Mm-hmm. He had an idea to create a whole different type of operating system for computers. It would be a crime to have Steve Jobs sitting in a back room assembling computers. Mm-hmm. He certainly could do that. His gift is actually coming up with the idea and getting that business started.
Okay, so he is what we would call an entrepreneur.
Yes, he is.
Which is the noun here. Entrepreneurial is being used as an adjective to describe the kind of person who is willing to start a new business and take the risks involved. So apparently Michael Gerber believes that a person who owns a company but does most of all, if not all of the work in the company, is actually more like an employee and not an owner. And this, again, comes from his book called The E-Myth Revisited. Revisited might be an interesting word to some of our listeners.
Well, when you revisit something, you visit it again is what it literally means. And all it is you are going back to what has already been dealt with. So in a TV program, they might say, tomorrow we will revisit this issue. And they are just going to talk about the same topic again.
Okay. And in a board meeting, you might say, well, let's reconsider the old plan. Let's revisit the old idea. Okay. So we read in line 24, Esther, that owners often get diverted from the entrepreneurial path by day-to-day demands of operating, says Gerber, who runs a Santa Rosa, California business consultancy. So the word diverted here, what does it mean to be diverted?
If you divert something, then you change the direction of something. Mm. So for example, you could say the river diverted the waters from the stream. Mm. Or here it's when diverted is used, it says that on your path to being entrepreneur, you might get diverted or changed because you're doing the day-to-day minute tasks, and you don't actually spend time thinking about what you can do in the future.
Hmm. That's true. That's true. And you can get bogged down or dragged down by the details of everyday work and too easily be diverted from the main purpose, which is to grow a business. And that always involves thinking of new strategies, either through marketing or through hiring the right people. It also means that you have to have vision about what can be and then set the company on a course to reach those goals.
Well, there's a saying, or somebody might ask you a question, Troy, say, are you a thinker or a doer? Well, an entrepreneur actually needs to be both in the beginning to get a business started. Mm. They have to be a thinker and a doer to get everything up and going. But eventually, if they just are doing, then over the long run, their business is going to decline because their competitors will overtake them.
Now, apparently, the writer of this book, The E-Myth Revisited, Michael Gerber, he sees that this is one of the problems of small business operators, that unfortunately they become so involved in the details of the day-to-day operation of the company that they themselves really fail to move the company forward and to grow the company. Well, Gerber knows what he's talking about. He's a business consultant, or he runs a business consultancy, Ethan.
A consultancy is a company that gives special advice on a particular subject. And so you mentioned a consultant is someone who might work in a consultancy, and they are just the person who is going to be giving the advice on that topic.
Okay. Well, the question can be asked, as it is here in the article, so what's wrong with that?
Well, in the long run, or when you look at it later down the road, it maybe is not running as smoothly as it should or can because the owner is doing everything and there are too many demands on the owner.
Exactly. It says, in fact, that the demands on the owner never end. So in the long term or in the long run, perhaps, you know, the business will not do as well as it should.
Typically, when you do apply for financing from a bank for a business, they will ask you for a business plan, and they're going to ask you, what's your long-run plan? You can have the greatest idea on earth, but if you don't have a plan for the long run, you're not going to succeed.
Right, and the bank probably won't give you the loan.
Right.
Okay. Well, let's ask now Wayne to read for us the second half of today's lesson found on page 18 in your Advanced magazine.
Reduce risk of failure. Let's say you're running this business and you get hit by a car, said Susan Carter, a Minneapolis business consultant. Can you run it from a hospital bed? You're just increasing your risk by being indispensable. Carter's book, How to Make Your Business Run Without You, addresses the problem. Every small business that wants to reduce its risk of failure must become less dependent on the owner, she says. If you spend all your time doing the basic work of your company, you don't have time to fine-tune your business or plan for the future. The ultimate advantage to reduce dependence is that the owner can spend less time working. According to Carter, the key is a system that can be a business's guide.
Thank you, Wayne. This is Advanced Studio Classroom. We're on page 18 in the magazine, looking at the second half of today's lesson, business article. It's about the biggest business mistake that people make, and that is by considering themselves as the owner of the business to be indispensable. Well, what about reducing the risk of failure here, Ethan?
Well, we start out by talking about an example, and it is if you're running a business and you get hit by a car, the Susan Carter wants to know if you can run your business from a hospital bed.
Well, the answer might be possibly you could, but what if your injuries are so serious that you can't move your hands or your neck? And, of course, you know, the trauma that one faces after being hit by a car would probably not allow them to operate a business from the hospital bed. So they're trying to be very practical here because these kinds of things do happen.
Yeah, these things do happen. Accidents occur and people get injured, and sometimes the owner of a business might even get killed. Who's going to be there to take over running the operation?
So are there people underneath you or around you who would know how to run the business in the event of a crisis? Good question. So it says here in the article, Carter's book, she says, Susan Carter, How to Make Your Business Run Without You, addresses the problem. Now that's kind of a frightening thought, isn't it, to actually read a book about how to make the business run without you?
Well, I think she's saying that. Not that we don't need to be in a business, but I think everyone in a business needs to have someone who can do their work for them or do their job when they're not there. So I'm sure she gives ideas of systems you can put into place or standard operating procedures, things you can do, ways you can help people learn your job so you're not just the only person doing it. Someone else can also do your job as well.
I actually have a real-life example, Troy, that I think of back when I lived in South Carolina. One of our church leaders, he was a well-known attorney, and he had a small firm with him, and there were two other attorneys in the office and maybe about six other employees, and he was definitely the driving force of this law firm. Well, I knew him and his wife very well and their children, and actually they went on a trip to Italy, and he got hit by a car and was killed in Italy. It was devastating to the family. Fortunately for his wife and children, who are all entering college age, he had set up the firm to where the other two partners could continue, the staff would continue working, and he was actually able to ensure that his family would be supported by having a good, strong organization in place.
Very important. And in fact, it kind of begs the question, do you have an exit plan? Do you have something in place that will allow for the continuation of your company, for the business to continue, you know, operating for the family after you have left or because of some freak accident you've died? Well, the writer goes on to say that if you spend all your time doing the basic work of your company, then you don't have time to do what, Ethan?
You don't have time to fine-tune your business or plan for the future. And this is really important. To fine-tune something means to make very small changes. We would say you would be tweaking it, and you're going to make it better. And so as the owner, you want to be able to sit back and fine-tune, fix the little areas that there might be a problem so that you are running at the top of your performance ability.
Fine-tune is one of those phrases or words that we often that relates to your car, isn't it? When you need to tune up your engine because it's not running smoothly, you will fine-tune the engine to run at its peak performance, to run when it's most efficient.
Yes, you might think of even like a radio. If you're listening to a radio station, over time it'll get a little bit fuzzy, and then you need to work with the tuning knob a little bit. I wrote down, next to fine-tune, see the big picture. And that way you can take a look at, all right, where's your business and where's your competition? And again, we go back to if you're just doing, you're not going to see the big picture. You're not going to see your competition and then one day find out that you're losing in the game of business.
So how do you reduce one's dependence? How do you reduce the dependence of the company on you? And that's what we're going to look at tomorrow in the article. Something we haven't even talked about, and we have a minute or so left here. But what we've been talking about is working yourself out of a job. It kind of reminds us of the book that is mentioned here, written by Susan Carter, How to Make Your Business Run Without You. And I think all of us need to be in a place as employees or even as owners of a company where we can be in the process of training others, trusting others with authority to do the jobs that we might commonly, ordinarily do, so that if something were to happen to us, someone else can take up where we left off. So, are you working yourself out of a job?
Well, this is a common idiom that we might hear. We might say, you did your job so well, you worked yourself out of it. And that just means you did such a good job that you no longer have to do anything because other people can do it for you.
This is a good concept, isn't it?
That's right. And we talk about having a system in place that's your business guide or having a system, a way of doing things, procedures that people follow so that if you're not there, then someone else can also do your job as well. When I left Studio Classroom to go back to school, I wrote out a list of all the jobs I did and wrote 1, 2, 3, the procedure of how to do them. So the next person who does those jobs will be able to do them. And I think if we can all do that in our jobs, if you're sick or something happens, then people can continue on.
Okay. So there are different types of systems that a person might use, depending on your business structure. But I think the point has been well made that we need to understand the importance of not always being the person who's doing the detail of every day and trying to see all the customers and answer the phone. It just isn't possible.
Esther made a really good point about that, the key being a system, because if I'm the owner and I hire Esther and if I have a good system in place, that's great, and she's a good employee. Eventually, she'll leave, and I don't want my business to collapse when she leaves, so if I have a good system in place, then I can hire Ethan, and he can step in and fill that job.
All right. Well, tomorrow on the program, we're continuing with the article, business article, entitled Indispensable, and we'll talk about making a small business work. Well, until then, this is Troy,
Ethan,
Esther,
and Bill
saying goodbye.
Goodbye.